Lord Chaitanya and Vrindavan. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So we're going to read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 16. The Lord's attempt to go to Vrindavan. Verse 281. Tabu Vrindavana Yaha Loka Shikaite Seta Karibe Tomara Yelaya Chite. This is actually Gadadha Pandit speaking to Lord Chaitanya. Although wherever you stay is Vrindavan, you will still go to Vrindavan just to instruct people. Otherwise, you will do whatever you think best. Lord Chaitanya at this point. Well, the chapter title is The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya was thinking of going to Vrindavan or planning, getting ready, more or less getting ready to start, to go to Vrindavan. And Gadadha from the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gadadha is speaking to him about it, that why are you going to Vrindavan? There's no need to go to Vrindavan, because wherever you are is Vrindavan. So why make the effort? In those days you had to walk. You couldn't fly, couldn't take a train, you couldn't even take a bus. You had to walk. And from, this is now, this discussion is taking place in Jagannath Puri. From Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan is something, 1500 kilometers or something like that. It's really quite a long way, particularly to walk. So Gadadha is, in effect, what he's really saying is that why are you going to Vrindavan? Why do you want to? There's no need, because wherever you are is Vrindavan. Your mind is Vrindavan. Your consciousness, just everything. You're always just completely saturated with Vrindavan. But he says, still, you're going to go, but just to instruct the people. Because people, they need to know. Everyone should know. We should visit Vrindavan sometime. It's a very important devotional practice, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in a few minutes. But let's just read now part of the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada gives quite an extensive purport. I don't think we'll read the whole thing, but we'll read a couple of paragraphs. So Srila Prabhupada says, it was not essential for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, for wherever he stayed was immediately converted to Vrindavan. Indeed, at that place were also the river Ganges, the river Yamuna, and all other places of pilgrimage wherever Lord Chaitanya was. All sacred places were all there. This was also expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself when he danced in the Ratha Yatra. At that time he said that his very mind was Vrindavan. Mora mana Vrindavana. Because his mind was Vrindavan, all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna were taking place within himself. Nonetheless, just to teach people, he visited Balma Vrindavan. Balma Vrindavan means the Vrindavan on this planet. And then there's Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So just to teach the people that it's important to visit Vrindavan and other sacred places connected with Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya went there. Balma Vrindavan means earthly Vrindavan. Balma is derived grammatically from the word Bhumi. Bhumi is the presiding deity of the earth planet. She is Mother Earth, literally. So the Vrindavan on this earth planet is called Balma Vrindavan, earthly Vrindavan. So, nonetheless, just to teach people, he visited Balma Vrindavan, Vrindavan down in this material world. In this way, the Lord instructed everyone to visit Vrindavan Dham, which is a very holy place. Materialists consider Vrindavan Dham an unclean city because there are many monkeys and dogs there. And along the bank of the Yamuna, there is refuse. Some time ago, a materialistic man asked me, "Why are you living in Vrindavan? Why have you selected such a dirty place to live after retiring?" Such a person cannot understand that the earthly Vrindavan Dham is always a representation of the original Vrindavan Dham. Consequently, Vrindavan Dham is as worshipable as Lord Krishna. Arajya, Aradyo Bhagavan Vrajesh, Tanayastadama Vrindavanam. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Lord Sri Krishna and his abode Vrindavan are equally worshipable. Sometimes, materialistic people who have no spiritual understanding go to Vrindavan as tourists. One who goes to Vrindavan with such a materialistic vision cannot derive any spiritual benefit. Such a person is not convinced that Krishna and Vrindavan are identical. Since they are identical, Vrindavan is as worshipable as Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision, Mora Mana Vrindavana, is different from the vision of an ordinary materialistic person. At the Ratha Yatra festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, absorbed in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, dragged Lord Krishna back to Vrindavan Dham. And the purport goes on, but yes, it is extensive. So let's just say a few words here. I'll read the verse again. Tabu Vrindavana Yaha Loka Shikaite Seita Karibe Toma Yelaya Chite. Although wherever you stay is Vrindavan, you'll still go to Vrindavan just to instruct people. Otherwise, you'll do whatever you think best. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pastrityade Shatari Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakaptarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So Hare Krishna devotees visiting the holy places, particularly Vrindavan and Mayapur, really. And then, of course, there are others like Jagannath Puri is very important, and then a number of others. But Vrindavan, Mayapur, especially important, because in those places, the Supreme Personality of Godhead actually advented himself. And performed so many very important, instructive, and very beautiful pastimes. So, Lord Chaitanya, he is our acharya, you could say. Acharya in the sense, one who teaches by his life's example, by the practical activities of his life. They are a demonstration, living demonstration of what it looks like, what it is to be a devotee. So Lord Chaitanya, in that mood of setting the example as the acharya, instructing the people through his activities, Lord Chaitanya visited Vrindavan. So actually, Lord Chaitanya, if you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's the later chapters, I don't know, maybe it's chapter 22 of Madhya Leela, it's around about there, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya lists out the 64 main devotional activities. And right at the end, the last five of those devotional activities, Lord Chaitanya says, they are very special and they're the most important of all. Last five. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathura Vas Sri Murtir Shradaya Sevan. Sadhu Sangha, one should associate with the devotees. Nama Kirtan, one should chant the holy names of the Lord. Bhagavat Shravan, one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And then fourth, Mathura Vas. One should live in a sacred place like Mathura, which is part of the Vrindavan area. Places like that. So, that's the fourth. And then fifth is Sri Murtir Shradaya Sevan. One should worship the deity.
Thank you.
Medhavi Prabhu King.
Jai.
One should worship the deity with great faith and respect. So these five devotional activities, Lord Chaitanya says, they are very special. And even he says, actually, after that particular verse which we just quoted, listing out the five, so then Lord Chaitanya makes the point that any one of these five activities even if it is done without faith, but as long as it's done without offenses, any one of those five activities can bring a person to the level of bhava, which basically means the preliminary stage of love for Krishna, immediately, basically on the spot. Not that it always will, but it can, and sometimes it does. So these five activities are very important. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, he was doing them all. He was associating with his devotees like the six Goswamis, and particularly in Jagannath Puri, he was associating with Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and various others, Haridas Thakur, sometimes King Prataparudra, and so on and so forth. So, Lord Chaitanya was demonstrating the Sadhu Sangha is so important. He would never go anywhere alone, basically, Lord Chaitanya. And Nama Kirtan, of course we know, Lord Chaitanya is the father of the Sankirtan movement. And he was just chanting and chanting and chanting. In fact, this famous story, some of you I'm sure have heard, how Lord Chaitanya, when he was living there in Jagannath Puri, one day he was on the way to the bathroom. And as he was on the way to the bathroom, he encountered one young boy, 5-year-old boy, whose name was Gopal. And Lord Chaitanya, so they met on the path. And Lord Chaitanya, as he's walking down the pathway to the bathroom, which was outside, he had his mouth open and he was holding his tongue between his thumb and one of his fingers, physically holding his tongue. Thank you. Special mercy. He was holding his tongue, and it looks very strange. And little Gopal, 5-year-old boy, said, "My Lord, why are you holding your tongue?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "The reason is that my tongue is such, it will not stop chanting Hare Krishna. It just will not. But the thing is, the problem is right now, I am on my way to the bathroom and it is very dirty place, it is not nice. Ugh. And Krishna is present in his holy names. So if I chant the Hare Krishna mantra in the bathroom, Krishna will be exposed to the yuckiness of it all in the bathroom. And that's an offense. Must not do that, to subject the Lord to such an unpleasant situation. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, therefore I'm holding my tongue. Because if I don't, it will chant. And in this way, offense will be there. So Gopal said, no, my Lord. Really, you don't need to worry about that. Gopal said that in Shastra, in scripture, it says that when the time of death comes, you must chant the holy names. You have to chant the holy names. And the time of death is more contaminated and just dirty than the bathroom. So this is Shastra. You have to chant at the time of death. And it's worse than the bathroom. So therefore, my Lord, it is all right for you to chant in the bathroom. And Lord Chaitanya said, Gopal, thank you so much. You've convinced me. Wow. And Lord Chaitanya said, Gopal, from today on, you are my guru. So Gopal became known as Gopal Guru. And when he grew up and became an adult and sort of into middle age, getting a little older, then he took sannyas and he became more or less the leader of our sampradaya, or at least one of the very great leaders after the six Goswamis. So he was known as Gopal Guru Goswami. So Lord Chaitanya was chanting and chanting, and then Bhagavatara, here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya would sit in Jagannath Puri every day for hours and hours, and Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami, they would recite different pastimes and different things from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya would just become totally immersed in those pastimes and descriptions. And then Mathura Das, Lord Chaitanya he appeared in the Mayapur Navadvipa area, but then he left there when he took sannyas because he didn't want to be close to his family. So where to go? And he didn't want to go too far because he wanted that his mother could, without too much difficulty, get news from time to time how he was doing, what he was doing like that. So he decided to go to Jagannath Puri because it's not so far. It's what, from Mayapur it's perhaps 600 kilometers. And the devotees would move in between the two places regularly. So Mathura Das, Lord Chaitanya was always living in some holy, very sacred place. And then Shumurtiya Shradaya Seva, Lord Chaitanya actually, he didn't do so much deity worship himself, but at one stage he did worship a Govardhan Shila. And that Govardhan Shila is said to be in the Radha Gokulananda temple in Vrindavan town. And if you go through the whole DVD, two DVDs, you'll find that, you'll be able to see that Shila of Lord Chaitanya. Yes, and in the book. So like that, Lord Chaitanya set examples for us and for everybody, for all the devotees, by carrying out these five activities. And in this case, here in this verse we read, Gadadhar is telling him that your mind is always Vrindavan, and you're just in Vrindavan all the time. Wherever you are, it doesn't make any difference. But still you will physically, geographically visit Vrindavan to set an example. So we should know this, that it is very important to visit these sacred places. It's very important for a number of reasons. One reason is that the Lord, there are many sacred places there, meaning places where the Lord performed different pastimes and Yeah. And sometimes places where some of his great devotees lived, different bhajan kutiyas are there. Then there's some samadhis, places where some great devotees, where their transcendental bodies were buried. And then, of course, there are many deities also in these sacred places. So it's very nice to go there because it is easy to remember the Lord there. It's much easier than in Cape Town. Well, I mean, just in terms of the local sort of the ambience and just the place as such, the actual place. In that sense, it's certainly much easier to remember Krishna and to chant Hare Krishna also, to be Krishna conscious in Vrindavan, in Mayapur, and places like that. So that's one part of the value of visiting these places. But there's also, there's another, you could say deeper, more subtle, even more esoteric reason for visiting Vrindavan or Mayapur. You may know that Srila Prabhupada has said that the temple, like here, 15, St. Andrew's Road, the temple is like an embassy of the spiritual world. Yeah. And you know how it works with embassies here in Cape Town? There's a number of embassies. If you want to go visit some place, wherever it may be, in the world, then you have to go visit the embassy and get your visa, like that. So, technically and legally, the embassy of a certain country is technically and legally, it is not part of South Africa. It is part of that country. Sri Sri Anitai Mayapur Chandra Ki. So when you visit that embassy, you are subject to the laws of that country and not the laws of South Africa. And they observe the holidays of that country and the holidays of South Africa too. So anyway, that's another thing. But like, you know, you've got this guy in London, Asang, is that his name? Oh, I got it. Asang? Okay, that guy. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. He's in London. As far as I know, he's still in the embassy of Ecuador, some obscure little country in South America, wherever it is, best known for producing bananas, a genuine banana republic. And, you know, it's sort of, it's almost like nowhere, but they have an embassy in London, and he ran in there before they could catch him, and because he's wanted for certain criminal activities, apparently. But now he's in there. It's in the center of London. It's right there. And it's just a rented little sort of suite of rooms. It's not, yeah. And sometimes they move the embassy, you know, get another place, and the embassy moves there. And yeah. But technically he's in Ecuador, so they can't arrest him. You know, they got police lined up on the road, apparently, still waiting for him to set 1 foot outside. So the temple here, this is the embassy of Vrindavan, of Mayapur. When you enter, and you can feel it, when you enter, you're entering a very different environment. So that's just here in Cape Town and where our temples are, here and there around the world. But now with Vrindavan Mayapur, in this case we're talking about Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, it is even more so. It is even more so in that Krishna, you know, all the pastime places are there and so on. But Krishna is still there. He's still there. The pastimes are still going on. And when you all become very advanced devotees, which, you know, I know you're working on, but when you really become really advanced devotees, then you may go to Vrindavan and you may see the pastimes going on with your transcendental eyes. Yes. And sometimes it happens with some devotees. So in that sense, even though here, of course, this is like an embassy of the spiritual world, so in that sense it's like, it's not just part of Cape Town, just another material place. It's spiritual. But Vrindavan, you could say, is even more spiritual, because the Lord is there performing his pastimes on and on. And like I said, when you become very advanced, you can actually see those pastimes, enter into them, participate in them. But we of course, we're not really. I detect someone at the door. Anyway. In the early stages, we're not so advanced at all. We're in the earlier stages of developing our Krishna consciousness. So when we go there, it's not exactly that we will see Krishna running around. Oh, there's Krishna. Oh, he went hiding behind the bush. Prabhupada spoke very sort of disparagingly about people who talk like that, how they saw Krishna. Yeah. So we particularly don't expect that you'll see, if you go to Vrindavan or when you go, don't expect you're going to see Krishna running around performing his pastimes. But still, when devotees do go there, even devotees who are in the earlier stages, even by our standards, the earlier stages of developing their Krishna consciousness, when they go there, at least if they're well prepared, if they've really been chanting nicely and studying very nicely about the holy dhams and the pastimes of the Lord in the holy dhams, that if they've been doing like that, then even quite a neophyte devotee, when they go to Vrindavan, they will feel the atmosphere, powerful spiritual atmosphere, which is just pervading everything in that place. At least for someone who is prepared to some degree, it is completely unmistakable. And it is very wonderful, very wonderful, very ecstatic, inspiring, exhilarating experience, actually, to be there in the Holy Dham. So that's another aspect why it's beneficial. Because the Lord is there, and you contact the Lord, and you feel the spiritual atmosphere, and you get benefited. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach the people, you should go, so should you. Okay. Right. You should go. Prabhupada would say, Prabhupada said on a number of occasions actually, all the devotees should go for the Mayapur Vrindavan Gopanima festival every year. Prabhupada said that on a number of occasions. All of you, 1, 2, 3, 4, all of you should go every year, not once in a lifetime, or every 10 years, or even every 5. So anyway, one devotee approached Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, if all the devotees go every year to the Mayapur Vrindavan festival, it's going to cost a lot of money. Devotee said, if there's 1,000 devotees for Arjuna's sake, and everyone goes, and, you know, it's the airfares and then the costs of staying there for a month, it may cost $1,000. Of course, now it may cost a lot more, but anyway, it may cost $1,000. And, you know, 1,000 devotees, $1,000, that's $1,000,000. And the devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, we could, if the devotees didn't go and we took the $1,000,000, we could print so many books and spread Krishna consciousness and preach in so many ways if we saved that money. So I don't think the devotees should go. We should save the money and increase the preaching. And Prabhupada said, yes, good idea. Prabhupada said, actually, if we really want to save money so we can use it to increase the preaching, one other thing we can do is we can stop eating. We spend so much money on eating. If we all stopped eating, we could save so much money and spread Krishna consciousness so much. And the devotee got the message that actually visiting these places, you need it. Like, you need to eat. If you don't eat, obviously, your life cannot go on. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, you need to visit these places. It's a necessity. It's not just an option or a nice thing to do, like an embellishment. It is essential for our lives, just as eating is essential for our lives. So Lord Chaitanya, in order to teach us, he went there himself. He went there himself. And we should go there. Not necessarily like we should move there and just, you know, take up residence there. But at least we should go on pilgrimage regularly. And then when we come back from the pilgrimage, then we should transform our residence, our usual residence. Transform it also into Vrindavan. Of course, you know, if you're living in the temple, you're living in Vrindavan anyway, because it's just, it's like that. Everything is designed and it's just Vrindavan. But even in your flat, in your house, somewhere in Cape Town, you should transform it into Vrindavan by having nice pictures of Krishna around, having a nice altar there, having a nice program, and only preparing prasada, inviting the devotees, having Krishna conscious programs, and so on and so forth like that. In that way, you should turn your normal place of residence also into Vrindavan, into a sacred place. Yes, so Vrindavan's very nice. Vrindavan's very nice. Although, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the fact is, there's a type of material covering over Vrindavan. And if one goes like a tourist, and you know, you do get tourists going, or if one just, even if one's a devotee and one goes, but one has not prepared oneself through chanting and praying and reading and developing an appreciation for the Dhamma. If one is not prepared, then one may go to Vrindavan, and as Prabhupada mentioned, you may see, oh, it looks like a dirty place, dirty, noisy, some of the people sometimes can be irritating, difficult sometimes, even sometimes some of them can be dangerous. Sure. So, if you're not ready for it, then you will not really enter it, but you'll be situated on the covering. And it looks like you're there, but you're not really there. You're on the covering, which is material, and therefore you're perceiving in so many material ways. And Prabhupada says, it's not clean. I mean, at least certain parts are definitely not clean. And you got dogs, you got monkeys who are very fond of stealing glasses, at least in central Vrindavan town. One devotee was telling me, he was there with a group of South African devotees, and this one devotee, South African devotee, was in Vrindavan for the first time, and he didn't know how it works. He thought it just works like normal, like a normal place, which it doesn't. And he didn't know that when you go into central Vrindavan town, you do not wear your glasses. You know, better to fumble around, walk into the odd lamppost, and not recognize who you're speaking to, rather than lose one set of glasses, then another set, then another, to the monkeys. Anyway, this one devotee, though, he didn't know. So there he was in central Vrindavan town, speaking to another devotee. You know, like normal, a meter apart or something like that. And they're talking. And a monkey came from behind, came over his shoulder, took his glasses, and was gone. As the devotee was talking, and the devotee didn't notice. All the devotee noticed was that, you know, from with the glasses on, being able to see things like normal, suddenly everything became fuzzy and blurred. Because the monkey was just so swift and so expert, they didn't even notice. So that's the material covering. And if you have prepared yourself, if you sort of tuned in sufficiently, then you'll feel the transcendental atmosphere in a very pronounced way. And it becomes addictive. And you'll just want to go back every year and as often as possible, because it's really amazing. So yes, Lord Chaitanya set that example, very important example. And of course, you know, when you go to Vrindavan, you're carrying out the fourth one of those five activities, Mathura Vas. But also, you in Vrindavan, there are many devotees to associate with. I mean, practically everyone is a devotee of some sort. I mean, you get some pretty unusual sorts, but at least they're some sort of devotee. Yeah. And wherever you go, you know, people are going, Radhe, Radhe, just all over. And if you say Radhe, Radhe to the people, they Radhe, Radhe you back. And yeah, it's amazing. So there's a lot of association, there's a lot of kirtan. All the devotional activities actually are going on. And very prominent is that there's a lot of deities. And so very important deities, very wonderful deities. So when you go to Vrindavan, you get, it's like a heavy dose, a strong dose of all those five main, most important and most wonderful devotional activities. And the more one progresses, the more, you know, the transcendental nature of everything there becomes apparent. Yeah, until eventually, when you're on an advanced level of Krishna consciousness, then you'll literally see it as the spiritual world, because it is. So, Vrindavan is a sacred place, the place of the Lord. It is, like we said, like an embassy. Normally embassies, you know, sort of, it's a technical legal arrangement. That's what it is. Technical legal arrangement that the American embassy here is part of America. Now, Vrindavan, it's not just technically, it's Vrindavan, that Vrindavan. It actually is. And as you become more tuned and more tuned, and finally become completely tuned, then you'll see it as Vrindavan. Vrindavan's very amazing place, very powerful place. The slightest touch of Vrindavan purifies you more than the wind. Vrindavan has the power to give dharma, material religious results, artha, just material, enjoyable types of things, karma, actual material enjoyment. But even though it's got the power to give all of those things completely, but Vrindavan only gives liberation. And when we say gives liberation, it doesn't give impersonal liberation. It only gives the highest liberation of Krishna Prema. Yes. So, when, this is Jiva Goswami making these points, when the waters like of Radhakund, Shamakund, and the other various kunds and small lakes and ponds and so on in Vrindavan, when they tremble, you know, there are ripples there from the wind, it is Vrindavan trembling in ecstasy. The Yamuna is the perspiration of Krishna's body. Like the mountains, hills, immobile features of Vrindavan. That is Vrindavan stunned in ecstasy. The trees and other plants and foliage, this is Vrindavan's hairs standing on end in ecstasy. We might say that, you know, this is sort of like poetic, very poetic, creative expression. But Jiva Goswami is saying that actually this is what it is. It's actually what it is. It's such an incredible, transcendental place. So, and the deities, of course, the deities are very special. In our Krishna Balaram temple, very wonderful deities. And all over, there's so many amazing deities all around the Vrindavan area, some very beautiful, some very old. They've been worshipped for many, many years. And those deities, they're not just representational, symbolic displays. They're actually forms of the Lord. He is present. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna's present. Sometimes we give the example, we may have given the example here too, that we have photographs, particularly in the age of cell phones with cameras. Everyone is a photographer. And everyone's taking so many photos, my Lord. So, you know, I'm sure there are hundreds of pictures of you taken by all different people. Now, when it's the Lord, like up there near the curtain, there's a picture of Lord Chaitanya. He's present. He's actually present. In your picture, you're not present, sorry. It's just some, you know, technological creation, that's all. Symbolic. It just reminds people of you. But actually, you are not present. And sometimes we give an amusing little example that every morning the husband goes to work and just as he's about to leave, he and his wife discuss, what shall we have for supper tonight? And they discuss, what shall we have, what shall we have, what shall we have? We will have, what shall we have? Well, guess what? Beans curry. We will have beans curry. Okay, off he goes to work. Then he gets to work and there is on his desk, because he's a good husband, what has he had? A photo of his wife. Just to remind him who I'm working for. So he looks at the picture of his wife from time to time. But then during the day he gets this inspiration. Beans curry, you know, I've had so much beans curry. I want something different. What shall I have? I know, we will have not biryani. We will have Goranga potatoes. And so he looks at the picture of his wife and says, you know what, my dear wife? Don't make beans curry. Make Goranga potatoes. Okay. All right. Then he comes home later in the day, and you know what he gets for supper? He gets beans curry, because his wife is not present in the picture. So she was not aware that it was his desire. But the deity Krishna is present. You speak to the deity, he hears you. And he may reciprocate directly, indirectly. Krishna is very, you know, he's very interactive. He's not just like a passive authority figure. Krishna's a very interactive person. You do service, Krishna reciprocates. So he's present in the deity. And even sometimes great devotees, the deity speaks to them. Some deities move. Some deities grow, you know, because it's actually Krishna. It's not just a statue. We've told the story before. Let me just close by telling you a little story. Well, almost close. That Gauridas Pandit was a great associate of Lord Chaitanya. And with the permission of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, he had the first Gaurnatai deity's carved, life size. And he would just cook all day and cook like 50 preparations, single-handed, and take the whole day. He had to get all the ingredients first, then prepare everything, and then cook everything. Maybe by 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening, he would be ready and he would make the offering. So, and at the end of all that, he was exhausted. So one day, Lord Chaitanya, the deity, spoke to him and said, listen, Gauridas, I feel so bad seeing you working so hard, cooking and cooking, and then you get exhausted. You don't need to cook so much for us. Cook less. And Gauridas looked at him and said, I see. You don't like my cooking. And looked at him and said, No. No, I like your cooking. It's very nice. But I just don't like to see you so exhausted. And Lord Nityananda said, you know, we would be happy with some plain white rice and spinach. We'd be very happy. Why don't you just make that? And Gauridas looked at him and said, okay, now I understand. You really don't like my cooking. I've had it. And they're both, the deities are saying, no, we love your cooking. Just there's, you know, more things, nicer things you could do with your time. And so they got them to hold debate, and in the end, Gauridas told Gauridas Pandit, okay, look, just as you like. You can cook anything. Cook what you like. It's okay. So the deity is real. The deity is Krishna. And darshan, serving the deity, just having darshan of the deity, is very purifying. We mentioned those five main activities. Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion has written a verse glorifying each activity. And some of those verses glorifying whichever devotional activity, some of them, the way he's presented them, it's as if he is criticizing the activity, but actually he's glorifying it. So, for example, he says, in regard to deity worship, he says, speaking as if he's a materialist, a big materialist, speaking to his friend who's like a little materialist, the big materialist says, my dear foolish friend, if you want to remain attached to family, friendship, and so-called love in this world, well, don't go to see Radha Govinda. Don't go to see them. Because as soon as you see them, you'll forget all about family, friendship, love, all material things. Because you'll just be so attracted. So don't, whatever you do, don't go and see the deity. Because this is what happens. People see the deity and they become overwhelmed. So as we say generally to the devotees, be careful. Next time they open the curtain, don't look at Nityamaya Purchandra. Okay? Be careful. Don't look. Just look the other way. Look out the window. Anyway, for all of you, it's too late. Yes. So like this, it's very nice. Very, very nice. Visiting Vrindavan, seeing the deities, it's very wonderful. And associating with the devotees, and this is what we're going to do over the next couple of days. Lots of association, lots of kirtan, kata. It's really going to be nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Okay, we'll finish here.